Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Welcome back to those of you who are loyal listeners. Thanks again, Mom.
And our second episode.
Second episode here. For those of you that are new to the program, a couple of guidelines for us here on Church Drunk. We tend to maybe perhaps enjoy our foul-mouthed potty humor a bit too much from time to time, and we can get a bit blasphemous. So if that makes you uncomfortable, just be warned. And also, we are Catholic, but we don't expect that you are, and you certainly don't have to be. All are welcome here at Church Drunk. So we're going to be talking a little bit today about all sorts of different things, and we're happy that you're along for the ride. I am Guess. I am here with Dizzy. Diz, what are you drinking?
Today I'm sipping a hot toddy. I've got a little tea and a little whiskey. You'll hear it in my voice. Sorry, I'm a little sniffly today, but that's not stopping me from the libation portion of this podcast. So today, as our second episode, we're in the first week of Lent still. We wanted to start strong as we could. Mm-hmm. So today we're talking a little bit about Catholic Climate Covenant.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the environment.
Yeah.
Environ-Lent.
Wow, that's it on the fly.
Yes.
How did that not come up before? Environ-Lent.
Environ-Lent.
Add that to the glossary.
Yes.
All right, cheers to the Environ-Lent.
Cheers to the Environ-Lent.
Okay.
Clink. So yeah, we're going to be doing our climate change kind of discussion. We'll be talking about our Catholic role or our Christian role or just mm-hmm. our role as good people of faith in the world.
Yep.
And how we are good stewards. And at the end of the program, we'll have a segment that most likely will become a recurring segment for us.
Yes, probably.
Involved a crisis of faith. Somebody, maybe me, is going to be a little bit freaking out about something revolving around the Catholic Church that maybe is not my favorite.
We're going to find out today, Guess, if he'll be stepping up or stepping out.
Stepping up or stepping out.
All right.
But before we get there, let's talk about this Catholic Climate Covenant.
Something a little inspiring. So this is kind of a resource or an organization that's kind of newer on the scene. I didn't know about it until a few months ago, I guess. So it's called the Catholic Climate Covenant,
mm-hmm.
and it's an organization to promote Catholic individuals and institutions of learning and all kinds of things.
Yeah, it kind of goes both ways. Yeah. From what I can understand that like it can be a personal commitment or it can be something mm-hmm. that you work into your parish life, your school life, whatever it is. Yeah.
To take care of the earth and how that connects to our call of faith.
Yeah. It's very Franciscan.
It's very Franciscan. And in fact, there's this thing called the St. Francis Pledge. If you're mm-hmm. into this, you can check it out. But they've been sending out resources, and I think especially with climate change happening and
mm-hmm.
everything in the world, we can feel a little helpless or a little hopeless about it. So I like this organization because they seem really focused on small action steps that we can do and also have that faith connection. So this is a good practice for Lent.
And they sent out this really cool calendar is, it's actually like just little bits and pieces that you can do every day. I thought it was some really interesting suggestions for how Lent can be a time of kind of recommitting yourself to the world around you in general. And oftentimes I think we think of that in terms of like, how do you recommit to the people around you? But, you know, Catholic mm-hmm. Climate Covenant is more about how do you commit to just kind of building a better planet for all.
Right. And, you know, Catholic social teaching, something of which I think all Catholics should be really proud of. It's this social teaching on caring for creation, and not only caring for creation, but how really the devastating effects on the environment really affect the poor the most and mm-hmm. the soonest. So there is that human connection too. This is about the earth. This is about animals, but it's also about the poor, which is such an essential piece if you're going to be a gospel Christian and Catholic.
Right.
So did you check? I checked out this calendar. I thought it was pretty cool. It's downloadable. It has lots of links. I thought maybe we could just call out a couple highlights,
things
that we liked about
it. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I one of the links that was on there jumped out to a story that was written by, just kind of an article about, written by a priest that was talking about how Lent kind of leads us toward a natural practice that is better for the earth already. And this is kind of like one of those happy coincidences, I think. I'm guessing that when the whole No Meat Fridays in Lent thing came about, it wasn't like, help the planet by not eating meat.
No, it's a sacrificial practice.
Right,
yeah.
But what this article was saying was that basically by abstaining from meat, you know, you are actually doing something that makes significant contributions mm-hmm. to the betterment of Earth. And, you know, I'm no, like, crunchy granola vegan myself, but, you know, like, I do notice the fact that there's more commercials for, like, the McFish Witch or whatever, during Lent, because they know that there's going to be a significant portion of the population that is trying to avoid red meat, and that there are, you know, greenhouse gas emissions that come from those massive cattle ranches, and that that's actually a lighter meat diet that focuses more on, you know, fish and lean protein and stuff like that, as opposed to red meat, is actually something that, like, one of those small things that we could do to really contribute to overall climate change.
Even raising awareness of that. Like, if you were to mention to somebody, like, right, I'm fasting from red meat on these days, especially during Lent, and it's a sacrificial practice because maybe it's a luxury item, but also it's a spiritual practice because it's better for the earth, and here's kind of the reasons why. Like, that's powerful. That's how things grow and develop.
Yeah. Like I said, it's kind of one of those happy coincidences, but it really is. There's multiple facets to that no meat on Fridays practice. I always thought it was ridiculous growing up. I was like, nah, whatever. I'm eating my pepperoni pizza. But, you get a little older, you get a little wiser.
I didn't grow up in a household that necessarily observed a lot of those, like, traditional practices. So when I went to Catholic schools, they did, but maybe not at home. And I don't really eat a lot of red meat at home anyway. So for me, I feel like I have to do something else, or, like, make sure I really actually fast on Fridays, because it needs to be something sacrificial there.
I do feel like there was more of a sacrifice involved with that practice, like, back in the day.
Where it was a luxury.
Carnivores.
Yeah. Or if you had meat available, you had money.
Right.
You know, and that money was supposed to be given to the poor.
Absolutely.
To tie into that aspect of almsgiving.
What'd you see on there that you thought was interesting?
One that I like, just because it's like an everyday thing for I think most of us and most Americans, is driving. And we don't, like, we know that it's, you know, all this fossil fuels and all that is not so great, but we kind of have to drive. Like, if you don't live somewhere that has great transportation.
You mean you don't have a hydrogen fuel cell car yet?
Nope. And I don't have a spoiler I don't live somewhere that has a subway system or anything like that. We drive. And so this one on the 16th, actually, it highlights, when driving, obey the speed limit. Every 10 miles per hour in speed reduces fuel economy by 4 miles per gallon. And, like, you know, the numbers don't matter, but just realize, like, that is a practice you could do. Is to drive a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Obeying the speed limit actually has a positive effect.
It does have an overall net gain.
Yeah, and I've always been kind of a pray-as-you-drive person, so I think that could be a spiritual connection.
So you heard it here first, Church Drunk Public. Yeah. Next time you're stuck behind some granny who's gone 10 miles under the limit, it's Dizzy.
No, it's not me. I'm going to go at the limit. I'm going to lift my lead foot off the pedal. So that one was kind of cool. And because we are, like, workers in the vineyard, as we've alluded to, I have jobs where we buy things for church services or for schools or for whatever.
Right.
They also highlighted one about buying eco palms for Palm Sunday. And it's like a better option. It improves workers' living standards and protects forests in Mexico and Guatemala. And it has a little website link. So, like, whoever knew about that? You know, you don't even think about these things. And so just another way, if you have that influence, you could make a little difference. And
I think it's a cool way to frame up Lent, as, you know, because I think a lot of times people get stuck in this trap that, like, Lent is almost narcissistic, you know, like, oh, look what I'm giving up, or this, that, and the other. And the idea is, even if it does have a real spiritual impact on you, it's a personal journey. And I think what I like about the concept of turning it into something that every day you're supposed to be doing something that is better for the planet, it really expands your view of what these 40 days can be. And if, you know, like, there's all those studies that are like, if you do something for, you know, 30 days, then you will have it locked into your habits. Well, you know, we do that plus 10.
Right. It's a perfect time for a new habit or just new mindfulness about something. So if you're worried about the earth, if you care about the EPA you care about the world, I'm not going to go there. But if you care, you know, it feels good to do something.
I do think
even a little thing on your own.
You know, I was reading this article on CNN the other day that was saying that basically 70% or close to 70% of the American population in this study was willing to say that clean energy, you know, wind and solar and stuff like that, was a really important priority to kind of the future of our country. But less than 30% of the people in that same study said that they actually talked regularly about climate change. And it still hovers right around 50% in terms of who believes that climate change is real, that humans are causing it, you know. And So I think that it is, it's critical to start tying faith to mm-hmm. that whole future of not just like your soul, but also the actual real tangible lives of the people
yep.
who are on the planet now and the people who are coming after us.
And once again, the people who are feeling this effect first and worst are the poor.
Yeah.
And you know, this is something that we have it straight from the Pope's mouth, that this is an issue for people of faith. And Laudato Si, this encyclical on care for creation. And
Pope Frankie, God bless him.
God bless him.
Saving the world to one encyclical at a time.
And talks about, you know, caring for creation as an act of mercy. Like, that's really, you know, he had the Year of Mercy. So, I don't know, if that interests you, you should check it out. We'll have more resources and things on the website.
We'll be putting up a blog post on churchdrunk.com that highlights some of the resources that we've been talking about here, and maybe kind of gives a few thoughts about how Lent can be a time to contribute to the environment, reflect on the environment, even just going for a hike, you know, like going out and enjoying like the beauty of nature. This is a wonderful time to be out and about and enjoying life.
Yeah, you know, there's this climate change is real and means there's warmer winters. And so even though that's not so great because it's an indicator, you can still enjoy it. Go out and enjoy creation. And
you know what? If you live in a part of the world where it's still too cold to go outside, Planet Earth 2 just debuted on the BBC.
Just dropped.
Planet Earth 2! So exciting. Like, I can't wait. I'm like, I haven't even watched any. I'm saving it so that I can like binge watch five of them in a row.
Guess is going to be binge watching Planet Earth 2. You should join him in that. Tell us what you think.
Good.
How are you living your faith through ecology and care for creation?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
If we had a sponsor, we'd probably go to a break right now.
Yeah, and now a word from our sponsor.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Did I ask you what you were drinking? I think I might have missed that, but in case I didn't, like, tell us again. I think your cup's empty anyway. What are you going to refill?
Close. I need a little more Hellcat Maggie Irish whiskey in my cup, because on Friday afternoon in Lent, nothing says I'm not eating meat today like Irish whiskey.
All right. Mm. So, healthy.
Hellcat Maggie.
he's dancing on the line of sacrifice this Lent, but, you know, it counts, because I don't think he's got any lemon juice or orange juice in that.
That's true. It's true.
He's
although
observing. Did you miss it? Have
I totally
you missed it?
It's cheated only been last like, night. No, I cheated.
2 days in.
I cheated intentionally.
Wow.
In my defense.
All right.
It's not cheating if it's not an accident.
No, it's definitely cheating. I think it's the other way, that if you forget, and that's the accident.
The story here is that Mrs. Guess and I had ordered our Blue Apron meal set.
Oh, that's right. You were going to try.
And we did that like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then
we're
it finally came
by them or anyone.
This week.
Okay.
But if you want to sponsor us, Blue Apron.
Us
yeah. and we had, one of the things that we got was like this blood orange sauce.
Chicken. Poor thing.
And I was like, and we would plan to make it actually a few days ago, and we didn't get it in under the deadline. And I was like, you know what? I get a 1 day dispensation for my Blue Apron.
For Blue Apron?
Yes.
Was
already there.
I expect
it was
you,
already in the works.
I expect you to abstain then on Sunday. You don't get a Sunday pass.
I will. I don't take Sundays. I feel like
you
Sundays.
You don't take Sundays?
No, Sundays are for cheaters.
Oh, well, you cheated deliberately 2 days
I did.
After it began. So,
yeah. But if it's deliberate cheating, it's not
actually
cheating.
I definitely take Sundays because we have to have hope.
No, I feel like I take pride
you
in my
deliberate
cheat.
You have like your own Lenten
days.
Rules.
I do.
This is weird.
I do.
All right. Well,
I own it and I say, you know what? I no longer
here.
Want to follow the rules of Lent, and I feel okay about it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
As I sniffle along, maybe I'll sleep in tomorrow.
Also, I'm going to have a steak tonight.
5 a.m., people. 5 a.m.
I'm not going to do that.
No. Jeez.
All right.
Are you geared up? Do you want us?
I think I'm ready.
Hellcat Maggie.
I've got my Hellcat Maggie. I think I'm ready.
There's this essential question of whether you're going to step up or will you be stepping out?
Yeah.
Because what happened? Lay it on me. What happened?
Yeah. So I'm at a bit of a crossroads or a crisis or mm-hmm. mostly just a freak out. Because the other day, I get an email from a diocesan kind of, you know, general, everybody who's around kind of email.
Okay, a mass email.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's like this Ash Wednesday, welcome to Lent sort of email. And it's like, oh, lovely, right? And it's full of resources and everything. And I kind of, you know, I just glance through it and I scroll down. And at the bottom of this page, there's two links. Lent for Him. and Lent for her.
Oh.
And I was like,
Lent is different for the, for the genders.
Huh? 12 different kinds of insulted right now just by the presence of these two links. And it's one of those moments where you get that vein that starts to like bulge in your head.
Yeah, you're a little red right now,
and
actually.
I'm like, are you kidding? Are you joking? Like,
no,
is there anything
serious, right?
Was... that ranks higher on the bullshit meter than saying that Lent is different for males and females?
Right.
Because,
well, you know, females are a lot weaker, so...
Ash Wednesday is one of the few unifying days that we really have, right?
Okay. Like, everybody's getting the same-ish ashes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we all admit, we're all in this together, and we're all a bunch
dust.
Of sinners. We are all dust,
you're
and
dust.
To dust we shall return. But if you're a dude, you're gonna turn into blue dust, whereas
manly
if you're a
dust.
Lady, it's gonna be pink dust.
Sparkly.
So at the end of it, yeah, you've got... Right? And if you get sparkles in your man dust, well, we're not even gonna go
Who
down that road.
Okay.
And so I'm just like, look, and I didn't click on them, didn't follow them.
Okay.
I just looked
all
at it and I said, you know what? Like, if I am part of a church that feels like the quintessential experience of repentance is gender specific, I have issues with that.
Okay. All right. I'm proud of you, I think, for having these issues.
I feel better for saying it.
Okay, you got it off your chest.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, guys, like, we're progressives here. We believe in the equality of the genders, which I would argue our church does tell us about, you know, with Imago Dei, we're all created in the image of God. I would believe that God is genderless.
One might say...
We can see God as a mother or a father.
Okay.
That is actually...
When you said that our church teaches about it, I was like, one might say that our church is obsessed
right,
with
I was going to come to this and say there has been perhaps some cultural issues in how that is expressed. And sometimes when we have these conflicts, we have to, like, go back to the basics. What does it actually say about this?
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, I don't know why this guy would put two links like that. It does seem divisive at best.
It seems counterintuitive to me.
It seems counterintuitive.
Like, here is the day that we all get unified on 40 days of journeying together.
Yeah.
But if you're a man, here's your man journey.
I mean,
if you're a lady, you're going
to
do it differently.
It's to emphasize that, like, when you get to Easter, you get to come back together and party. That's a stretch.
Okay,
that's a stretch.
Okay.
I heard it as
no,
I said it.
No, but you know
I,
what?
You know,
as I stand on the precipice...
Are you going to make me step out with you?
...converting to Judaism...
I should tell you that it's not really a whole lot better regarding the gender in your traditional role. I'm just going to let you know
up
front.
Okay,
you might want to be going more the, like, Unitarian or Episcopalian.
Fair enough.
Tradition.
But just mentioning the word Easter actually, like, lowered my blood pressure to be like, okay, so it's 40 days.
And on Easter, guess who was there first? The women.
The women.
Yeah,
good call.
Yeah, the women were there.
Good call.
The Gospels tell us the ladies were there first, and they had to go tell the dudes, wake up, fools, come take care of this, come celebrate. So, you know, even if one knucklehead, he kind of messed it up for us there, it's not really our teaching.
It's more than one. Come on. This is an institutional issue.
Yes, but today, who was forcing you out? I don't know. I mean, I think we have to acknowledge where we failed. You know, where we have problems. Like, I'm never going to be somebody who washes it and says it's all cool. We have we have gender issues in the church.
We do.
I think there's been some valid hurts and complaints from how women have been treated and how the patriarchy has been translated to us.
Yes.
But, like you said, Easter on the day of, and we look at how Jesus treated women, they were always right there in the center of his ministry.
This is true. This is true.
So, I mean, I can take a little hope from that.
Yeah. All right. Blood pressure lowering.
We need good men like you who have an issue with that. Are you going to step up?
I guess that's actually kind of, I mean, this whole thing was about, are we stepping out and switching to a different denomination, or are we stepping up and doubling down in our Catholic faith? But actually, now that you say it, like... Mm-hmm. Am I stepping up and actually going to advocate for this? I guess I have to doubly step up.
Yes, and you know, you can. And this is a great time for one of your legendary rageousness letters.
Yes.
Even if you don't send it, maybe you want to write it. That might make you feel better.
Consciousness.
You know, we have this thing we call rageousness. It's like righteousness and rage, and it just boils forth from us.
Yeah.
And maybe you, dear listener, have that experience as well. And I think that can be a holy thing.
Absolutely. There is such a thing as holy rage.
Flip those tables and get mad and then stay with it.
All right. I think, well, for this particular episode of Stepping Up or Stepping Out, I think we've established that stepping out would be the wrong choice.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping up is probably more productive.
I'm personally glad that you're going to step up, because then our podcast can have more than two episodes.
Right.
So thank you for stepping up.
And I'm like, I'm going to do my own.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my Buddhist podcast.
He has to go do a little more research as to who's going to be the most gender inclusive and still make sense to him.
I'll be back in 5 years.
Yeah. No, Guess is staying.
I'm here.
Dizzy and Guess, at least one more podcast.
Stepping up.
All right. Good. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're staying.
Okay.
So, I think, anything else about those issues that you want to talk? Okay. You kind of ranted, and
I'm
now
calmer.
You, like...
I'm calmer
he's,
now.
He's worn out. All right.
Yeah.
So, we want to just thank anybody and everybody who's listening. We have more stuff posted on the website, resources, if you want to learn about the Catholic Climate Covenant, about Laudato Si, the St. Francis Pledge, which is for individuals and organizations who care about ecology and faith.
Yeah.
You should go to our website, churchdrunk.com, to learn more about that.
Exactly.
And
hit us up with an email.
Yeah.
Churchdrunk@gmail.com is how the best way to get a hold of us right now. So we like to hear from our listening audience. And
actually, we had our first email, and
we have a sample.
How lovely. At least one listener.
Yeah.
So shout out to Brad for our first email to us. And he writes, "Who knew Lent could be a drunken celebration?" He's looking forward to hearing more and enjoys our glossary. So you should go look at our glossary, too.
Yeah, check
thanks,
out the
Brad,
website.
For the
check
email.
Out the glossary.
We
read
appreciate
the blog.
It.
Lots of resources. Thanks for listening.
We hope your entering your second week of Lent goes well, and that you are able to sacrifice and pray and
remember,
keep it real.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. We'll be back next week, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and hopefully neither one of us will cheat next week. I am looking at you, Guess.
I'm almost positive you've eaten avocados. You're just not
I have not, but I have
just
been
saying,
a little late getting out of bed.
Just saying. All right, thanks for listening. Join us next week at for Church Drunk. Remember, Church Drunk, it's for all those times when sometimes confession is just not quite enough.
Peace.